Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the living and active word that you have set in our midst. And Lord, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, who does indeed lead to a metamorphosis in each of us as he transforms us through your grace and forgiveness, mercy and salvation. Lord, may we be a people who are attentive to this word. May we be a people who are receptive to the work of the Holy Spirit in our heart, in our thoughts, in our minds, in our words and actions. May we celebrate and rejoice that we are the children you have called home. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke 15, Jesus tells three parables, and our sermon text this morning is on the third of those parables. But before we get into this, it's important for us to know, why is Jesus telling these parables? And we get the answer at the beginning of chapter 15 when we hear that the Pharisees and the scribes are very upset with Jesus because of whom he is spending his time with. If he's indeed who he says he is in their minds, then these aren't the people he would want to be around. They don't like the fact that he eats, speaks with sinners, with tax collectors, with prostitutes, with Gentiles, and with unrighteous people. How often do you and I, at times in our life, have this false understanding of the nature of God and believe that he comes just to dwell with people like us, people on the inside, people who believe that, well, they're maybe not completely holy, but they're holier than those who aren't here today. I think it's a parable as much for them as it is for you and me today, because at the heart of this parable is a gross misunderstanding on our part of what a merciful Father's heart looks like, both in heaven and on earth. And if we begin to peek into this merciful heart of a Father in heaven and on earth, we get a better glimpse when we see just a few things as it relates to the merciful heart of our Father. And the first thing is this, is that the merciful Father always gives good gifts to his children. That's one. Second, a merciful Father always extends forgiveness to his lost son or daughter. And the third thing is the heart of a merciful Father is always willing to restore and reconcile that lost child, not only to himself, but to their family, and to the very community that they live in. So let's look at the first thing. The heart of a merciful Father gives good gifts to his children. Now, I want you to think and go back to your confirmation days. For some of you, like John Adair, this is a long time ago, right? Long, long time ago. And I want you to think about what you learned when you studied the Apostles' Creed in confirmation. And I want you to think about the very first article where we talk about God the Father as our maker and our creator. The Holy Spirit says these things about God the Father who made us. The Father has given us our body and soul, our eyes and ears, and all our members, our reason, and all of our senses, and still takes care of those things. He also gives us clothing, shoes, food, and drink, house, and home, spouse, and children, land, animals, and all that we have. He richly, the Catechism says, daily provides us with all we need to support this body and life. In today's parable, the youngest son asks his father for his inheritance. The heart of the merciful father gives the son the great gift of what he has asked for. But in so doing, his own heart is broken, because this son has chosen to sever his relationship from his father, from his family, and from his community. And having received this gift of his inheritance, remember, all of us need to be reminded, any inheritance is not anything you earned or deserved. It's always what? A gift. And so the son takes this generous gift of the father, and he spends the money doing all the things that would transgress the father's will and the father's hope for a son. He squanders it in reckless living. And isn't it interesting and also sad that most of the greatest fractures, breaks of your life and mine happen in our own homes? So it was in this story also. And while the father has given him this great gift, you and I maybe don't readily see ourselves that we could be anything like this young son, but then I challenge you to think of all of these things that the father has given you that we've spoken of, and then ask yourselves, have you not sinned and broken the father's will with your eyes? Have you not listened to things that you shouldn't have? Have you not used your own members to engage in sin? Have you not used the gift of your own reason to manipulate and to twist situations, transgressing God's holy law? Have you not taken all of these good gifts from the Father that you didn't earn or merit, but they were gifted to you, and then used them in a way that breaks the Creator Father's heart? You begin to think about it this way, you begin to realize that, you know what, you might now see that you have a lot more in common with this younger son than you first thought. What does it look like to have a merciful Father in heaven and on earth? He gives good gifts. Secondly, believe it or not, in that merciful heart is room to forgive his son or daughter. No matter how hard and deep his heart was broken, and no matter how much his desire for them was shattered, he stands ready to forgive. The young son, having misused these gifts, having found himself on what some would say is rock bottom. When you're hoping that you could be blessed enough to eat what the pigs are eating, you know you're pretty low. When you're a young Jewish man and your jobs become feeding unclean animals, you know you've fallen to the bottom. But this son, you see, he's going to take this big gamble. And the big gamble that he wants to take is, I wonder what will happen if I throw myself on the mercy of my Father. Here's what I'll tell him. Here's the confession that I will make. But brothers and sisters, see, in the first century at this time, what he would know to be true is that if he returns to his family and his father, there would be this communal feast of shaming him and shunning him for the rest of his days. This is what he knows happens when guys like him return. And you know the story well. He hopes that maybe, just maybe, I can be a slave in my father's house and climb my way back up to at least some sort of better reputation than the one that's going to be placed on me as a label for the rest of my days. So he makes his way back. The merciful Father is looking at the horizon. He sees the son, this lost one, at a distance. And before the son can even spit out his full and rehearsed confession, the Father reaches him. He embraces him, and he kisses him before he even speaks a word of regret and repentance to his father. He embraces and kisses his filthy face and forgives him on the spot. What does it look like to have a father who has a merciful heart in heaven and on earth? It looks like one who gives good gifts, who offers the forgiveness of sins, and who seeks to restore and reconcile that son and daughter to himself, to their family, and to their community. And as unbelievable as this seems, the Father treats him as if he had never left, as if he had never broken his heart, as if he had never disappointed him. This is what steadfast, redeeming love from God to you and to me looks like. Look at this picture. Look at this picture. The picture that was going to be up there for the entire sermon. So if I was boring, you could look at it. I'm guessing it may not be there. Well, if you feel like Googling, Google Bartolome Esteban, and you'll see this amazing picture of this scene. And what you're going to see whenever that picture comes up is you're going to see the lost son returning, and you're going to see that his clothing looks like filthy rags. They are shredded. He looks like he has been through the rinse cycle and spun around in a pig pen. which he has. And when you look at those rags, look at them. When you look at them, Isaiah echoes in your mind. We have all become like one who is unclean. And all our righteous deeds are like what? Filthy rags. Polluted garments. Now look at how nasty his feet are. Can you imagine what he smells like? He probably hasn't bathed in months. He's been working with pigs. And the stench of all the sin and the life of transgressing God's will kneels before the Father. And then if you look just to the right, over the Father's left shoulder, there you see two servants. And one of those servants is holding in his hand a new robe. And on top of that robe are a pair of fresh sandals. And to his right, there's another servant who is holding up between his index finger and thumb a ring, a signet that says, this one is part of this family. And it wouldn't be long before this dirty, filthy son would be taken away and he would be washed, most likely by his father's servants. And after that, he would be dressed and he would put on these new sandals for his wore-out feet. And then the ring would be placed on his finger. As a testament to everyone in the house, the family, the whole community, that this is my son, reconciled, restored. Brothers and sisters, there's no greater gift that the Father gives to you than His only begotten Son. And there's no greater gift that the Son gives to you than His own death and His resurrection. And there's nothing greater that the Holy Spirit does than what He did here this morning for William and Lucas, which is this lavish washing away of sin. These are the things that he's done for you. These are the things that this lost son has experienced. What does it look like to have a Father in heaven and on earth who has a merciful heart? It looks like one who gives you and I good gifts. Forgives us and calls us sons and daughters. Reconciles us that we are now brothers and sisters of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we are made again and again to be reminded that you are my son. You are my daughter. Sealed, Scripture says, not with a ring, but with the Holy Spirit Himself. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, this is a parable really of two lost sons, but Lord, today we have focused on the first, and we are reminded that the merciful heart extended to this son is also extended to the other, to the one who believes he has done no wrong, to the one who believes he deserves the best place at the table. to the one who doesn't want to be his brother's keeper or the best for his brother. Even the Father's love and mercy goes to him. And he's reminded that he's loved, that he's part of this family, and that he is also the one who has received the Father's great gifts and forgiveness and reconciliation. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.